Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This podcast is in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs.
My favorite food is sugar beans and pap. And I add sugar on top of the sugar beans. Because, yeah, I'm toxic like that. I host the Clement Magnatella Show on Radio 702. It's between 9 and 12 midday. It is a show about everything. I'm passionate about a lot of things. I think I'm passionate about social justice, which is why I have come to do the kind of job that I do as a journalist. I'm passionate about accountability. What irritates me is people who refuse to acknowledge when they're wrong. 702 land is vast. So don't think about it as Gauteng. I always think about 702 land as global. My top four favorite books right now are Winnie and Nelson, A Portrait of a Marriage. I've enjoyed Jada Pinkett Smith's book. That's Will Smith's wife. The title of the book is Worthy. Harriet Tice wrote a book titled Blood Orange, and I've just finished reading The Bitterness of Olives. It's a book about friendship. My favorite movie is Salt, because I'm obsessed with Angelina Jolie. I've gone to New York twice recently in less than 6 months. So I guess I love New York. So I love going to New York.
Undoubtedly, Clement Marimeja Magnatella is a man of the moment. When he's not hosting his primetime Clement Magnatella show on Radio 702, he's on the SABC News Channel as host of Face the Nation, or on the road somewhere in the world running a marathon. Occasionally, he's on the golf course playing bad golf. But whatever he does, Clement is a man you cannot ignore. In fact, even those who hate him keep on turning their dials onto his show and then run onto social media to hurl insults at him. Only DA leader and now Agriculture Minister John Steenhuisen managed to shun Clement. Although I do suspect, I must tell you, somewhere deep down, I'm sure John still tunes into the radio to hear what this, his nemesis, has to say. But there is much more to this favorite son of Mpumalanga than his manicured beard and toned body. And no, I'm not hitting on him. I'm known to be better than that. I've got better taste. Clement is a Formula One fan. He adores Lewis Hamilton. He supports Orlando Pirates and holds strong views on issues ranging from Palestine, VBS, and travel. Most importantly, though, Clement is known for a number of corpses he's buried through his intrepid interviews.
You insist that you hold a PhD in economics from the London School of Economics, right?
Absolutely.
The Business Day is reporting that they contacted a spokesperson of the university who says that, and I'm going to quote here, "We have checked our files and can find no record of Tabi Leoka being awarded a PhD from LSE." How do you explain that?
Do you know that he went to Orania and he said, "I'm happy with what I've seen here. These are just people who want to enjoy and celebrate their culture."
Mandela did the same.
Mandela did the same. Exactly. But what does that say about him and Mandela?
That is the ANC always trying to overcompromise. But also
the
in the
didn't
ANC,
force him to go there. He didn't have to.
But Mandela went.
Yes,
went.
And I'm saying let's look at all of them. Why did they go there?
And today, he is in my studio. For a change, he's the one to answer questions. So we're gonna have fun on him. What image?
Tobela.
Thank you so much for coming, mate.
Thank you. It's as I said, it's always weird to be on the other side of the table.
I know.
Because I'm used to asking the questions.
So I'm hanging out with Clement.
Yeah. It is there. And across the desk as well.
Across the desk. You know, I feel like this is your payback time. Like, I spend my mornings listening to you. So this is you paying back for my listening to you, right?
Yeah, and I'm happy to do it for as long as you want.
You can pay me back.
True.
By the way,
I must beat you at the golf course, though. Maybe that will be the way of paying back to you.
But I'll pay you anything for that.
Okay.
I don't mind anybody who beats me.
And you'll be humble enough to come back to this podcast
like anytime and confess
and
that
score.
I was beaten. We'll take pictures.
Okay.
I'll tell people about it and put it there on the podcast that, hey,
it's a challenge.
Yeah, no. It's a challenge. I take it. Yeah. By the way, I don't know what word. Was it in Sipedi, but in my language, it's too weird. It's too
weird. So in your language, it's?
Gokhota.
Gokhota. Or in Sipedi,
Rakhora. I should deal with that matter that you dealt with yesterday on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah. You seem to be having too much fun, though.
So I think I'm blessed to do a job that I enjoy that doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
So I'm always having fun on television or on the radio, and that's how I keep saying, because our job can be quite distressing. It can be quite traumatizing. So if you're not having fun, you're going to be in trouble.
But you know, you're not a typical talk show host, right?
Yeah,
I mean, at least from an aesthetic point of view, you should be like on Idols or doing some, you know,
so
funky,
you're hitting
smooth,
on me again.
Cool
there he is hitting on me again.
You know, people before you were like John Quelan, you know, who used to smoke in studio, right? And sweat people.
Yeah.
You know, the serious Tim Modise,
you
know, the unpleasable Eusebius McKaiser, the difficult Rudy Clement, and then the smooth Clement. Like,
yeah, and I think I would add the young Clement as well.
Yeah,
because
exactly. I mean, much younger than all of these guys.
All of them.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest, actually, on the lineup at 702. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when I was told to do the show, by the way, Rams, I've never wanted to do a show like this ever. It's never been my dream, ever.
Really?
I've wanted to be on the radio, but I wanted to do like hardcore shows because I'm a journalist. Yeah,
I know you as a journalist.
Yes.
I know some of the stories you went out to do,
you know,
with a smaller voice.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that voice. Yeah. So that's who I am. So I've always wanted to be on the radio, but I've always been just passionate about journalism, and I didn't know about the other aspects of journalism where you can host a show and you can interview people, but also do the light stuff. So when I was approached to do the show, I was like, I don't want to do it. And for 2 weeks, I actually said, no, I'm not ready. This is not what I want. I'm happy doing the show that is about hardcore news. And I mean, I prayed about it. I consulted with people and I thought, let me do it. Because also a show like this requires so much emotion, requires your personality. And, you know, many times as journalists, we are just like hardcore. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And now I must go cry on air. Now I must go laugh on the radio. I'm a serious guy, I thought.
Now you must feel for that single mother who's having problems there. Now, you know, you
gotta
get involved in their lives.
But in actual fact, that is what life is. We are more than just asking the hard questions, having serious conversations. We have light conversations. You cry, you have emotional chats. So I have fun because I also enjoy my show, because I've also curated it in the way that also somehow suits parts of my personality as well.
And you got the freedom to curate it the way you want.
Oh, absolutely. When they approached me, I said, I want to do the show I want to do. So there are certain things that we take out from the previous show, and we say, because it's a Clement Manyathela show.
Yes.
You know, and it has to have that kind of identity. So I suppose that also helps when you create it the way you want it and you go sell it to the audience now and say, this is who I am and this is what I'm bringing to you.
So we know you did not always want to do this.
Yeah.
But now you're into it. Now now this is you.
This is me. I cannot imagine life without doing radio. Obviously, I wouldn't do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I've got other plans when I grow older. But you know, even when I'm on holiday sometimes, I take the radio equipment. Like I went to London Marathon this year. I ran it on a Sunday. Monday I did my show from London. And I was using my equipment.
Buy me a book, but yeah, that's another matter.
Oh, yes, I was supposed to buy you a book. So I did my show from London on a Monday, and it wasn't the first time. Like, there's many times where I've traveled. I think I'm too obsessed with my work and my show and the listeners.
It's not so much of a sin, by the way. It's a great thing to be obsessed with the work. I mean, I'll tell you this much, right? Yeah. And I'm saying this very carefully because that could sound patronizing. I am amazed at how much research you put into your work.
Mm.
I am taken aback because sometimes I feel, as a listener, we are shortchanged by some hosts. Mm. You know, they gloss over things. When do you sleep? I mean, it feels like the day before you come to the show, you like spend the whole night.
Yeah. You know. If I'm being honest with you, I spend...
And I know there are producers, right? But I can tell where you are involved.
Yeah, and producers also only work up to a point, right? You are the one that executes. If I'm being honest with you, I spend more time preparing for my show than I executed. Yeah. My show is 3 hours. I spend more than 3 hours preparing for the show each day. So, and I prepare the day before it works. So in the evening, I'll reserve about 3 hours or 2 hours where I read.
Which brings me then to the very most important question. Like, are you single? I mean, really? have you got a life?
Do you think I would have a life and be married or have a partner with a job like this?
Jeez.
No, I am. I'm a single man, and maybe that's what's helping. It's not going to be forever, obviously.
Yeah.
I have to find a balance at some point. But yeah, research for me, Rams, is so important. Like, I always tell the producers, and they always laugh when I say, like, any guest I have, I want to know the subject more than them. And it's obviously crazy because, I mean, if I'm bringing in the CEO of Standard Bank, how can I know Standard Bank better than them?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go read. And one of the things I do is I always consult. Like, if I'm going to have a chat about the economy, about the budget, I call my friends that are economists or people in the industry. You're so naughty. Yeah, she must come here and talk to you.
No, she won't. She won't. Look, you know, it was your interview with her that gave me so much content. I still think that was one of my best podcasts I did based on your interview with her, which was said, but let's not digress. I listened to you just last week, end of last week, where are we? But with Dalimpov,
yeah, last week.
And again, as you say, you were so immersed on the issues, couldn't dribble around you. He just couldn't dribble around you.
You must also learn your interviewees, people you interview. That's very important in our craft. So before I interview anyone, I always, because also by now, I mean, I've been a journalist for a bit now. I've also done this show for 4 years now. I've interviewed almost
already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Already we turned 4 in July actually this month. So most of the people I've already interviewed before.
Yeah.
So what I do is I learn your style and I know Dalimpov's style. I know that you know, his trick is to waste time wobbling on other issues so that by the time...
And giving unrelated examples.
Yeah, unrelated.
I never get it. Like, you know, if you're driving a car to Cape Town, like, what is that got to do
with this?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
So you must learn people you interview so that you come prepared. So what I do with people like that, because I'm not a journalist or a broadcaster that wants to cut off people and be rude, and I just have questions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you the questions. If you are wobbling around, I'll bring you back to the issue. If I think you didn't answer it, I'll bring it back. If it means I must cancel the next feature, I will. In fact, with Dalimpofu, he probably thought it was working because our interview was supposed to end at 10:30.
Yeah.
And I canceled the next feature and I took him on up until 11 o'clock. So, you have to do that. You just ask the questions. And my job is not to convince the listener to know that Dali is lying or take my side or take... No, it's you make up your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think in that interview, people heard... And they've made up their mind what's going on here.
Why do you think these guys keep on coming back? I mean, yes, you're not confrontational, you're not bully, you don't speak down on them, but you do cut them to pieces. Mm. And they keep on coming back. I mean, how crazy are they?
I still maintain a relationship with them. Me and Dali get along.
Yeah.
Like, I will still, after my interview with him, I'll send him a message and say, ha 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 ha, or say, thank you for coming. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I remember Pule Mabe. One time I did an interview with him.
I forgot him, yeah.
Yeah, remember him?
Yeah.
That guy? I did an interview with him and it was bad on his part. Like, he wasn't prepared. And I remember he sent me a WhatsApp afterwards and says, yo, you killed me there. that's the kind of relationship we have. Yeah. You know, I don't hate politicians. So like if John Steenhuisen, for instance, says, oh, I won't talk to him, that's weird for me. But also I'm like, that's cool. I'm also not going to run around, you know, trying to, you know, appease you to, please come on my show. No, like, you don't buy me bread. My show is not going to be bad because
I can only guess that you're not as attractive as Meg G, that he went to speak to Meg G, but he doesn't speak to you. There has to be something about you, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, none of them have come here, but I tend to think that they think I won't take them seriously, which is probably true.
I'm sure you won't.
Like
I'm sure you won't.
I have no time for nonsense. I'm glad you are stronger than me. What about the listeners? Yeah. You know, how would you describe your relationship with your listeners?
So we do companionship radio, right? My kind of listeners don't come to me just to, they want to know what's going on in the world. No.
Yeah.
Like, they already know. Like, my kind of listeners are people who are, they read. Sometimes they know the subject matter more than I do, which is why I have to be ready and prepared. So they already also have heard Bongani in the morning. They've heard the news. So when they come to me, they want to know my opinion on different issues. They want to know my opinion, and they want to engage me and debate me. And that's what I love about them is they will challenge you. They will humble you. But also they will celebrate you and agree with you where they agree with you. And that's the challenge that I love about the job. So my listeners are like my friends. You know, I met a lady now. I don't know her name, but I was sitting down.
I heard her speak to you. Yeah.
And she said oh, you look like Clement. And then she came, gives me a hug. Oh,
yes.
That's the kind of thing I get anywhere I go. My listeners, people who listen to me on the radio, how I know this person knows me from the radio, either they'll call me Maddie Major, or they'll make some silly joke with me and laugh and want to hug me, even when I don't know them.
Yes.
Because to them, I'm a friend.
You're
they
familiar.
Listen to you every day.
Yeah.
So even
you
when I react
house,
with them.
You live in their cars.
In their cars.
Yeah.
So how I know people know me from TV is they maintain some level of, oh, hi.
Yes.
But on the radio, we're besties. So I regard them as my best friends.
Have you though ever had any confrontation with a listener? A listener.
Many times.
Either on air or somebody meeting you and say, you're a bloody, I can't use the word here, it's
yes.
a family
show. I have. On air all the time. I mean, I disagree with listeners. There are some listeners that think I'm racist. I hate white people.
Yeah.
I will ask them, or there are listeners who call in and say, how dare you, you media people. I don't want to engage with people that are irrational. Like, I don't want lazy arguments. Like, I do my work to prepare.
Yeah.
So if you're going to call a radio station to engage me, at least come with, and I'm not saying agree with me. You can disagree with me or criticize me, but be rational. If you come and generalize, you media people. No, I don't work like that. Tell me, what have I done?
Yeah.
And I'm not a media.
I don't represent the
I don't
the
represent the whole
media.
Yeah? So I've had fights like that. But outside of work, there are people that have approached me. Recently at the gym, oh God, a guy comes to me
you
at the gym.
You don't have a private gym. What's wrong
I
with
am.
You?
I am now because of that
okay.
incident. Not in my house.
Joking.
Oh, no, not in my house. I go to an exclusive gym now. Like,
okay.
You know, Virgin Active has
what
they call Virgin Active collection.
Yes, I
so
know.
Where
we are not allowed as the ordinary
so
people.
I go there now because I've had a number of incidences at the gym, you know. And the recent one was a couple of months ago where a guy approaches me. I was actually in one of those boardrooms at the gym because I was finishing off a meeting. I had just finished training and the guy says to me, hey, how are you? I was like, sure, brother. He's like, can I please give you feedback about your show? I was like, sure. I love feedback so I can be better.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, you know, the other day you were talking about the economy and I just felt like you were not getting it. You actually don't get it. Like, did you read? Why did you not discuss this and this and this? I was like, no, just listening. And I was like, my brother, we actually did discuss that. How much did you listen to the show? He says, no, I only listened for 20 minutes. Like, there. If you listened to the whole hour, you would have heard that we actually covered all of these things that you raised. And then he said, yeah, you also interviewed Trevor Noah. I didn't enjoy that interview, brah. I just thought you were too much of a fan. You were giggling all around the interview.
God, they're going to accuse me of that now.
You were giggling and laughing around there. And we, Yeah, I didn't enjoy it. I was like, I'm sorry you didn't. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I was giggling because I'm actually also a big fan of Trevor
Noah. Right?
And he was making jokes all the time.
Right?
Yeah, so people do. Some people have...
We get that. I mean, yeah. What I always love most, and this is not about me, it's about you, is getting, you know, on the one day someone saying, oh, typical ANC lecky. And then,
I mean, really.
2 days later, someone says, oh, your EFF colors never hide. And then, oh, typical white monopoly capital. Like, oh,
yes.
I love this. Like, yes. I love being mysterious, and it's okay.
And
like,
it's okay. It's actually good.
Yes.
Because then they can pin you into one.
But it also shows that you tackle everybody.
You
right?
tackle everybody, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. One person was saying, and I loved, you tweeted something actually recently that I screen grabbed and I sent it to a friend. On Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
And I think it's on Wikipedia.
Oh, yes, which yes. Says in fact, that his father was a policeman.
Yeah. Like things like that. And then they're going to call you a Zuma hater.
Right.
Why are you bringing Zuma into you? You're trying to protect Ramaphosa. But they forget that a week ago, you were criticizing Ramaphosa. Right. Happens
all the
time.
In fact, I have spent more of my life criticizing Ramaphosa than because he's president. Right?
Yes.
I mean, he's there. He's in my life every second day.
Yeah.
Well, actually, every day, sadly. What's capturing your imagination right now? What are the issues that are top of your agenda? I'm sure you're going to say U.S. politics, but what else? What is out there that's grabbing you?
Obviously, local issues. I'm always thinking about this historic moment that this country finds itself in where we don't have a party that wins the majority of the votes. And I'm constantly thinking about what it means for mostly the majority of people in this country that are more vulnerable and poor. And it's a point I've been making on air, even when the GNU, if you want to call it that, was...
That didn't sound like John Shop.
Yeah, Jesus. Now they'll say I'm a MK party supporter.
Exactly.
Because I really think, Rams, and I'm not saying this because I wish the GNU bad. I do think that I feel like we're going to have a caretaker government, so to speak. And I say that in inverted commas. Because we are not going to have a government that prioritizes the radical stuff that is needed. And by radical, I don't mean unconstitutional things or reckless policies. No, I'm saying radical government programs that can change the lives of the majority of people in this country. I just feel this government of national unity is more concerned about, let's make it work. Oh, let's compromise. Let's. And my worry is for the next 5 years, we are going to regress. We're not going to move forward. And by move forward, I mean on the fundamental things that matter to the majority of people in the country. Yes, there'll be delivery of service, probably. Yes, they will run their departments probably well. But are we going to see programs that change the fundamental lives of the people on the ground? I don't think so. But I hope I'm going to be...
Proven wrong on
this.
Because it would be great if you're proven wrong.
That would
be
amazing.
Very sad if you're proven right.
That's what I'm thinking about now. Internationally, I think a lot about the Middle East, the tragedy of just the lives of Palestinians and how even the world has somehow forgotten about them. And not only now, but they've been forgetting about them for decades and decades and decades. So I try on my show to have conversations and try and bring out all the different sides. But ultimately, I worry about where we find ourselves, where people literally don't have anywhere to go. Mm. And whenever they find some refuge, they're told, move there. Otherwise, bombs are coming.
Yeah.
It's like, move where?
Yeah, you know, I like when they say, but we inform them that we're going to bomb. Like, really? Like, so is that your humanitarian touch that you told them that you're going to bomb their households? But that, speaking of that and that which you spoke about earlier about the GNU.
Yeah.
Do you actually realize, Clement, that you are a mind... I can't use the word again. I mean, typically, nobody can think about you thinking...
How do you not swear on the show when you almost come this close every 5 minutes?
I've got a very strict producer.
Okay.
So,
beep!
I can tell you now, and that includes, well... me before I got to know you better later, right?
Mm.
But we would never think about you as somebody who thinks that way.
Mm.
Because we tend to paint pictures of who we think people are, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't help when the optics of that person are softer. Then we think they have to be, you know, nice to go, they don't deal with issues.
Yes.
And your conviction on issues of the downtrodden, on justice, on humanitarianism, is just amazing. But I say it is a mind boggling
that let's use boggling for now. I think also the other reason is that because I've also like just been a journalist, like I've never expressed my views on issues, because as a journalist I've always just got, you know, report on things, but now this show will force you to have a view. It will force you to actually express the things you are passionate about, and for me, justice is. Like, I understand the privilege that I have as a 34-year-old South African who has a great job, a job that they enjoy, and they're able to travel. But I also know that that's not the reality of many people, because I also come from a reality. I come from a village in Mpumalanga. I always am amazed at how I was able to actually make it to where I am now, because when I go home, I see my best friends or the people I grew up with, and I see how their lives have turned out. Not because they're not smart, but because maybe I was somehow lucky.
The dice maybe I was in the right place.
It didn't, because they were probably smarter than me, some of them, in high school.
I say that to my children all the time.
Yeah.
So you would be driving past a village, and I say, you know, do you see that kid there? She's probably smarter than you, but she's here.
Yeah, so I appreciate where you are and the opportunities God has given you, because there are other people that would have loved to be somewhere else, but, you know, the proverbial ish happened and they can't be there.
So do you think Joe Biden gave Kamala Harris a, what do you call it, in football, a pass?
Not a free pass?
No, a hospital pass.
Hospital pass.
Yeah.
Yo, how wild is the U.S.?
I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, supposedly the number one democracy.
In the world. I always just get so amazed about, like, you really, what I've done now actually is I've started following like podcasts of different hosts with different opinions in the U.S. because I'm trying to broaden my horizon. I don't think we must listen to people we agree with all the time. So don't just watch CNN. Because,
in fact, I stay away from the CNNs. I listen to podcasts.
you know, watch other things. So there's a lady, Candace Owen, in the U.S., who's a podcaster. In fact, her podcast is number 3 in the whole U.S. U.S. And quite crazy woman. Like, she's got these conspiracy theories. She hates Joe Biden. But I love listening to get a different perspective because she represents a section of Americans.
Yes.
You know, the same way that CNN or other podcasters represent a section of Americans. So anyway, I've been enjoying her on her analysis of what's happening in the U.S. But yeah, Joe Biden. So I had Stacey Abrams on my show in December last year. Stacey Abrams is this U.S. activist, lawyer, author. She was actually a Democratic representative in the state of Georgia in the U.S. And she's actually single-handedly accredited for Georgia, Joe Biden winning that state of Georgia. It was her campaigning really there. She's been on Oprah show, blah, 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 blah. So she was in South Africa and I had an opportunity to do a sit down with her. And the question I asked her last day, this is in December already, I was like, Joe Biden is not okay, ma'am. As Democrats, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, well, we see that, but then what do? If the Republicans are going to bring in Trump, you need someone stronger to challenge Trump. And Joe Biden right now is someone that Americans love, someone that even some black Americans love. There's no other stronger candidate Democrats can come up with. So that's what she said. And then I remember my second question was, what about Kamala Harris? Because the favorability ratings in America of Kamala Harris are so low.
Very low.
Incredibly low. So, she hasn't really risen to the occasion. So she's not even someone you can consider. And that's what Stacey Abrams at the time said. Well, she's a great vice president, but we think Joe will go. And now you see this switch that happens and you wonder, oh my God. Democrats themselves know that Kamala Harris is not strong enough.
No.
But what do you do?
Until Joe announced his stepping down and mentioned her, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would battle to remember her name. Now it's in my head because she's now right?
Yes.
A presidential nominee. Yes. I knew it was a black woman.
Yeah.
I would forget her name
yeah.
because she was not visible.
She was not. But even during debates or during interviews, I've watched a number of her interviews and she's just, and I say this respectfully, she's so underwhelming. I don't think she's ready to be the president of the U.S. But
podcaster, and whose name I forget, and I listened to them over, I think, 2 days ago or so, said something very fascinating. He says, Joe stayed as a decoy. Had Kamala come in earlier.
Wasn't going to win the primaries.
Yes. So it was a smarter way to say, let's wait until, and also exhaust Trump on Joe, so that they have no strategy on Kamala.
On Kamala.
But then let's wait until they remind us that her mother is Indian, born in India.
Yes.
You know, and all those things are going to come out, right?
Also, this America that we celebrate as the leader of the free world and the, you know, number one democracy in the world, Americans are very conservative on many issues.
Yeah.
You want to put a black woman as a presidential candidate? Are you crazy? In America, already Barack Obama
was a tough one. Yeah.
And I tell you, many Americans are probably thinking, oh my God, we're not ever going back there again. A black person in charge. So that's why the vice president that they're going to pick who goes with it has to be probably a white woman. You can't put a gay man or another black man or black woman, because already for them it's too much with Kamala Harris.
Yes.
But if that's the case, then that Joe Biden wanted to, this was a decoy, then what they didn't, the foresight they didn't have is the attempted assassination. Because,
well, I wanted to speak about that, man. You know, I get tempted, like, you know, but as a rule, I don't call talk shows.
Yeah.
Because I'm tainted, right? I'm a former talk show host, so I feel like it's almost like.
Yeah.
So I listen and I say, but why do my colleagues call this thing
attempted assassination?
And say, I think there's one more word missing there.
Fake?
No, alleged attempted.
That's fair, actually.
Because it has not been proven to be an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
It's still alleged at this moment.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the thing is also, because this is such a polarizing and contentious issue, everybody is coming with different facts from different sides. So how did the person get on top? I mean, you and I have been in areas where the president is, and that's just the president of South Africa, like Matamela.
Exactly.
A former president, a U.S. president in Donald Trump, who's also a billionaire, who's running possibly to be the next president, who's got the Secret Service. How do they miss something like that? So, yeah, it's crazy. Honestly, when I saw it, if I'm being honest, I was like, Trump, what's going on here? Yeah. But then I think, do you think anybody would take a risk like that about their life? I mean, when you look at that shot, had he not turned his head in that second, not later, not a second later, we would be talking something else. And if he's willing to take that risk, then he's a crazy man. He needs to be locked up somewhere.
The latest conspiracy theory now.
Yeah.
That he cut his own ear. There was no bullet.
Someone said that. Yeah. That even
but I'm not involved. All I know is that but it is someone an alleged died.
A bullet killed
attempted.
Someone.
Yes. You see, when you plan, you've been in productions, haven't you?
Yeah.
Productions happen, right? Yes. But I'm not going there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. All I'm saying is that we should still call it an alleged attempted assassination. If he offers you to talk to him, Trump, would you take
Donald
him?
Trump?
Yeah.
Yes, I would. Yeah. Because I talk to people that I don't agree with many times.
It's more exciting.
It's more exciting. It's also like, I also love hearing Rams. Like, I want to hear from somebody else. Like, why do you think like that?
Yeah.
Like, Dr. Klopp, why do you think the Dutch Roman law, like, where has it failed? Or when people say, constitution has failed, where? Which part?
Yes.
How? Because I'm always interested to know people's perspective. So I would love to sit down with Donald Trump. I would have loved to sit down with Robert Mugabe.
I had the privilege of being in the same room with Robert Mugabe.
Really? I went to his house.
And in fact, we had put together my business then, my PR company then had put together a session for him to meet with senior journalists in South Africa.
Yeah. Amazing. Wasn't it that time when...
No, it's a long time ago.
This is a long time ago?
Jesus, a long time ago. Some of the guys who were there are retired journalists.
Yeah, no, I had a privilege of going to his mansion with other journalists ahead of elections when he just called an impromptu press briefing. And we went to his house and we went to this garden area, and he was just sitting there, shame. He was walked and moved there by Grace, the wife, and we were just asking questions, and he was trying to decampaign. ZANU-PF at the time. Yeah. But I would love to speak. You know where I'm going to go to do my radio show?
Yeah.
Orania. And people are going to go, oh my God, are you, why? I got an invite from the CEO there, whatever they call them, who said, because we spoke about it on the show, because my views are clear about Orania. And he said, instead of talking about us and criticizing us, why don't you come here to have a conversation with us? I was like, sure, I will come. And I want to hear you, but I also want you to hear us and why this is actually quite wild, what you are doing. So I'm getting, I think as I grow older, Ramses, I'm being more open to hearing other perspectives that I don't even agree with.
That's amazing. That's a great thing
to do. And challenging other things.
So other than politics, what are some of your favorite topics that you handle on your show? I mean, you do a whole lot of stuff that is not politics.
Yeah.
But what
other topics
that fascinate you when you are about to do them?
So without this sounding weird, and I hope it doesn't, and I hope my mom won't hear it.
This is a weird podcast.
Okay, great. Then we're good. Sex.
Oh,
because on my show, yeah, the Friday, yeah. Every Friday at 11 o'clock, we talk about sex issues.
Yes.
And these are not salacious things. These are issues that affect
South
Africans.
Yes.
In fact, people across the board. So it's my favorite topic because it helps a lot of people. I realize how many people are scared of talking about sex, even with their own partners.
You know what I've never understood about, and especially because you've taken it away from hardcore sex, and I'm not saying anything wrong about your predecessors, right? To issues that couples deal with every day. But I always get fascinated when somebody calls and say, I'm going to speak anonymous and say, if I know you, I know you.
I know who you anonymous. Are. Some of them will say, ish, my husband may be listening. This is anonymous, but my husband, I was like, if you are married, this is someone you've got kids with. I'm sure they know how you sound like.
Your friends, your colleagues know how you sound like. But
I love
so
it.
So you like that topic.
So topics, because they help a lot of people. And you know how I come up with those topics? When I'm chilling with my friends and my friend is like, yo, this is what's popping. I'm like, I'm going to talk about that because the fact that you're experiencing it means somebody else is going through it.
Yeah.
If I pick up something at home or I pick up something when I'm walking, shopping, whatever, I always think there's another person out there who's going through it. How do we make that into a topic? I talk a lot about Formula One.
You do.
I love Formula One. So every time there's a Grand Prix, we come and analyze it on the show.
Are you moving along with him to the red?
I'm still deciding. Okay.
I'm a Ferrari. I've always been a Ferrari.
Really?
So I'm exceptionally excited that he's coming over.
Yeah.
I've always supported him as a driver, but I'm a Ferrari,
fan.
I just think that we have no drivers, no a car.
You guys have had a car. You just don't have a terrible strategy. Yeah. Your strategies have been terrible.
Look, it's not about me and don't make me unhappy.
You're wearing a red hat now.
I'm a Ferrari fan, big time for many
years. And an EFF supporter. That's what they'll say when they see your red hat.
So, enough about your job and serious stuff. Let's talk about you. Where do you come from? Where does this trip, this journey begin from before we got here?
So, I come from a village called Vaalbank. I don't know why they call it Vaalbank or what it means. It's in Mpumalanga and I grew up there. I went to school there. It's just a village.
Which part of Mpumalanga?
In Kwandebele.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Mloto Road, Kwamhlanga.
So closer to Limpopo.
The other side, So, that's where I come from. And then when I decided what to do, so I don't come from a place where we had the career guidance.
Yes.
Like, we didn't have those things. Like, career guidance. Like, all
you're probably going to be a cop or a...
Cop?
Yeah.
Police officer.
A teacher.
Teacher. Or doctor, but I wasn't good in math or science, so I wouldn't do that. Or an engineer, but also I'm not good in math and science, like my brother, so I couldn't do that. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just remember my mom saying, you have to get a license, because the experience we have, even with some
just
of my cousins.
We're talking about a driver's license, not a gun license.
Yeah, no, this is not the US. Yes, a driver's license. And my mom said, because where I come from, people end up, they're bus drivers or they're truck drivers or, taxi drivers. So for us, driver's license, it's a backup plan.
Yeah.
If stuff don't work, this is
at
something you have.
At least get a job at the mines and drive the trucks.
You can drive the trucks, right. So driver's license and a security certificate.
Yeah.
Those things are popular where I come from.
I'm not laughing.
So that was the thing. I got my driver's license when I was in grade 12. And I was like, what am I going to study? I was so confused. I didn't know. because nobody has come to us to say, these are the options. What are your interests? So then I went and studied language practice, which, like, language practice, exactly. What is that? And I went into it not even knowing what it is. But it's a course that was about languages. I did French for a year. And then, because I dropped out after a year, did French. And then I did Sepedi, and then obviously English. And I did some TV production courses as well. And I felt, this is not me. Left, went to the University of Pretoria, and that's where I studied journalism.
Ah.
Only in my second year.
So UP offers journalism?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought journalism only was offered by TUT across the road from them.
So I did that. Only in my second year did I fall in love with journalism, funny enough. First year, I was like, what is this? Second year, towards the end of second year, I was like, oh, wow, this is dope. I think I love this. Oh. Then I started working in my third year at the Pretoria News newspaper, started working.
So you've even done print?
I did print.
Oh, but again, let's not go back to work. You speak always and very fondly about your mom.
Yes, I'm a mama's boy.
Yeah.
I'm a proud mama's boy. They say, Arena, but Bashiman Balimpopo, like, Betty Man. My mom is the most important person in my life for so many different reasons. Like, you know, when you're are you a firstborn?
No.
So when you're a firstborn.
I'm second of two.
Oh, you guys are exhausted.
I refuse to call last born.
You guys are
second of two.
Ah, ooh, the last borns are the exhausting ones.
No, when there's two of you and the age gap is 2 years, there's no.
Nah, ooh.
There's nothing.
Really?
We are peers.
Spoiled brats.
Never.
Always complaining.
Never.
Really?
The opposite.
Really? Mm-hmm. You are an exception.
Always been.
My mother. So as a firstborn, like, I saw a lot of things, like, growing up, you know. I saw the abuse at home. And I've always just been drawn to some. I was my mom's, what shall I call it, shoulder to cry on, so to speak. So I moved towards sympathy because I've seen her struggles. I've seen her struggling to, you know, to get us through school, because there was a time when my dad was not working. So those struggles have brought me closer to my mom. And I've also just seen, and that's how I've experienced the love, my mom's love. I don't have a memory of my mom telling me she loves me.
Yeah.
I know that's weird for people, but
they demonstrated it.
Yeah, my mom has never said to me, "Kia ora ata, kia, I love you," ever. I don't have a my dad says it, not my mom. But also, that's how she was raised, like, coming from the villages.
Yeah, but at least she made you wash.
But she's showed it.
The blankets, you know, step on. Oh. That's a act of love. That's an
act of love or abuse. Child abuse, that one. I'm very fond of my mother. I mean, we do argue a lot.
Yeah.
She thinks that I must be home every week, every month. I'm like, ma'am, I have a life.
And she still judges how your house looks like.
Yeah. She comes to my house and she judges things. I was like, this is my house. And then sometimes I won't sleep at home. It's like, where were you? Like, I'm 33 and this is my house. You can ask me this when I'm in your house, not here. But yeah, she's my favorite person ever.
So you look back, although it was fortuitous, you don't regret that you then chose the route you took, ending up at UP and studying what you studied.
No, I don't regret it at all. I think there was also a reason why I had to start at TUT, because that's where I did the language practice.
Oh, is that where it happened?
And So I think I always believe that there's a reason for everything. I don't regret it. I mean, I love my job with everything I have. But it's not all I want to do until I die. Like, I've got other plans. There are other things I love.
So when we agreed that you're going to come, and I tried to think about who are the luminaries from your part of the world, and only two names before yours came up, both the others being politicians, Ndaweni Mahlangu and former President D.D.
Mabuza.
You have to be the most prominent Mpumalanga citizen after those two, one having told us it's okay to lie as a politician, and the other guy calling himself a cat.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're incredible people that come from. I grew up listening to Ikwekwezi FM.
Yes.
So, like, they were hosts, Abombuzana. Like, for me, those are like, oh, look at these people and what they're doing. Look at them, like, on the radio. They're doing amazing stuff. So it's the kind of people I used to, like, look to and go, oh, that's amazing. I mean, Esther Mahlangu, Come on, Esther Mahlangu is from.
Of course, yeah.
Put some respect on the go-go.
I was talking about the men in that part. Not her. She's special. Yeah. She's an international person. She's not an Mwananga person.
Yeah.
She's an international.
She's quite international.
Yes. So, what's next? What's happening in the next 5 years? What are you thinking about?
What's happening in the next 5 years? So what's happening this year is I've started doing television production now. So I'm fascinated about coming up with ideas for television and conceptualizing shows. Because I've realized, like, I get hired to come host shows. I was like, but every time I get hired to do host shows, I do more than that. Because I'm always more than a presenter. I'm not a type of host that comes and just reads the auto cue. Like, I ever refuse to be written questions or themes. Yes, you must do that as a host, as a producer.
Producers don't like that about me. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Like, you can do your themes because two brains, let's all meet each other somewhere. But I write my own questions. I write my own intros, even on television. That's the kind of person I am. And I'm like, you do so much, so why don't you just be part of executive producing shows?
Yeah.
So that's what I've done now. There are certain shows that are going to be on air on different platforms later this year that I'm hosting and executive producing. There are other shows as well that I'm not hosting, but I have conceptualized and I'm executive producing with my fellow executive producer. So that's one thing that I'm excited about because I only started it earlier this year. So
slowly going behind the
scenes.
Where the power is, by the way. People don't realize this, right?
They that's where it is.
In front of the microphone in the screens, they don't realize actually the power is elsewhere.
Exactly.
That I've never seen, but they make things happen.
Yeah. So that's one thing I'm doing. I want to also give back. So I'm launching a foundation as well. That is, remember I told you we've never had career guidance where I come from. And I'm at least at a place where I've made connections and contacts where I think I can somehow use that to give back. And whatever I thought I didn't have that I think can make a difference in the lives of those kids at home, I want to do that. I want to take career guidance at home. I want to create opportunities for people in high school to have therapists to talk to. I didn't know what a therapist or psychologist is, and yet I was dealing with so much at home. And that was affecting my studies. And of course, when you're dealing with trauma, abuse, like terrible poverty or all those issues, you're going to be impacted in your schoolwork. So I want to make psychologists available to schools, especially, and I'm talking far-flung areas here because those are the people we forget about. So that's what I'm going to do. So I'm launching that foundation this year, and that's going to be occupying most of my time as well. Yeah, that's the short-term goals.
Professionally,
I ran Comrades.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Right, sub 10.
Sub 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
I know.
I would never do that. It's stressful driving that distance between Pietermaritzburg and Durban.
It is. I ran Comrades. That's for me is my highlight of the year. So that's a personal goal. I did the first major marathon, London Marathon. So the personal goals also is I need to do more majors. I want to do 5 majors across the world. I'm on the waiting list now, actually, on the New York Marathon, which is in November. So I hope I can do that. That's a personal goal. What else do I want to do? I want to partner up one day. Not children this year.
Okay.
Maybe, I've always said, maybe when I turn 35, 36.
Okay.
That's when I want to.
Can do it at 40, by the way.
This is
great advice from somebody who's been there.
Uh-huh.
I think in our 30s, we're not ready for this.
Yeah,
I had them in my 30s, and I can tell you, I would have been better.
But I love
in my
your
40s.
Relationship with like your kids. It's so dope. And I'm like, I also want to be, they're old enough, and I'm still old enough to, young enough to do stuff with them. So when I'm 40, do you think?
Advantage, right, when you can do stuff with them and you're much older than them.
Yeah. Like you guys are best friends.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. But you know what much older is? Yeah. I think our parents like being old.
Yeah.
I've realized now it's no longer about an age thing. I can do my piano dance with my daughter, even though I don't know what I'm doing at all, but it's fun.
Just wing it.
So I'm not trying to be an old man like I don't do nonsense like that. We have fun. And so I've had to learn to reach out to her.
Mm.
And it has made our relationship amazing.
Thanks for the advice. I'll I'll put aside the making of the children until 40.
Take your time. And you're not losing the physical ability to do so.
As long as the physical ability is there.
Anthony Quinn was 81.
And the ingredients that are needed.
Anthony Quinn was 81 when 81. He had his last son.
You're
81. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't suggest you wait until then. Yeah. Right? This is a very strange.
God
thing.
Has favored us as males.
Right? Men,
and with privileges. Male privilege.
We don't realize how privileged we are.
That's
right?
It.
That's why I get angry with men when they think, you know, oh, women this, women they're like, are you for real?
I mean, imagine if you and I were going through periods once every month, like a week of just pain and blood.
Man.
Hmm? We have male privilege.
We would have caused more wars than we caused.
We would have. Yeah, so yeah, those are, but thanks for that advice, because I've been thinking maybe at 40, but also my mom is like, before I die.
Oh, they always say that. Yeah.
Like, hey, my brother has already given you a child.
What more do
Hold
you
on,
want?
What more do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, life is, I'm also like, my work is also busy, you know, and I love traveling. And so I also want kids at the time when I'm really ready for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like in a few years time.
It's brilliant.
I just want to have, I'm going to school.
You're going back to school?
Yes. Next month, I start classes at Gibbs, and I'm really excited about it. So that's one of the goals that are coming up, yeah.
Please tell me it's not MBA.
No.
Okay.
I'm not crazy.
I think, thank
you, right? I'm crazy to run marathons.
Those guys are crazy.
I'm not crazy to do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I've never understood people who do that to themselves.
No. Wow. And I'm like, you are at your age. Where do you find the time and the mental capacity? And no, I'm not that strong enough.
That's brilliant. I say this to everybody who gets to listen to me, please study again. Please, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be a certificate of two months or something, but we gotta refresh ourselves again and again and again. Mm. I mean, you know, part of my listening to you and other guys is that I tend to see myself as a guy of the past. So I get to be refreshed when I listen to other people. I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah, right?
And the saddest thing about people who are accomplished, they think the world ended with them.
Mm.
They think this was it.
Yes.
They don't realize.
Yes.
That's archaic, actually.
There's a world continues out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll be left behind if you're not catching up.
But completely. Mm. So your siblings, how many?
I'm the first one. My brother, Zeb, comes after me, 2 years younger, an incredible man. He's a mining engineer, has a child, blessed us with the most beautiful nephew, and he's married. And then the last born is my sister, Lungile, who is 22 this year.
Oh.
Yeah, 22, yeah. She's still at university.
Want to know how old I am? She's my son's age.
Wow.
Yes.
And she's the last born at home. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, those are my siblings. We get along like a house on fire.
Yeah.
I love them to bits.
Beautiful.
I'm a family man.
Beautiful.
I'm a family man.
I will tell you this much. I mean, you're one of my favorite broadcasters right
now.
Thank you. And I'm a hard guy to please. I've always confessed about it. and I congratulate you for the amazing work you're doing on all the platforms that you're on. Mm. I congratulate you for being a family-loving human being. Mm. We tend to forget about them when things are smooth sailing.
Mm.
I am not too sure that I congratulate you for your stupidity of running through many kilometers on the road and stuff like that. But, you know, we can't always be perfect. That's your weakness, and it's okay. All of us have our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I wish you much success, and thank you so much for coming through.
I appreciate that. I don't do this a lot, but it's you.
Right.
When Rem summons you, you can't say no.
Thank you very
much.
And
I appreciate the wonderful words from you, man.
The privilege of being an elder. Clement Manyatela, thank you very much, my brother. Go well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I can do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rems Mabote, good night and God bless.